Thank you, Anne, for sharing that with us. And it always amazes me how music and song stirs our memories and connects us to people and places and things. Time to time, I hadn't heard that song in a long time, but as soon as Anne started singing that, my memories went back to Plug Run Church when I was a teenager, and that song was sang there a lot, among many others, and it just good memories. But what it should say to us is how good God is. We serve an amazing God, and no matter the circumstances, God is always faithful. Well, as you know, over the last few weeks, we've been considering grace from the cross. That grace included Jesus praying, "Father, forgive them," to the salvation of the thief that was crucified beside him. Today we will hear Jesus say one of what is referred to as the least theological statements from the cross, but one that means so much not only to his mother, but to the all of humanity. It's a short statement, and we'll see it in a moment. And thankfully, John, the Gospel of John, records this moment for us. A moment that I hope is not only deeply meaningful to his mom, but to us this morning. And I believe we'll see that unfold as we turn to John chapter 19, verses 25 and 27 this morning, 25 through 27. And so let's draw our attention there if we could this morning. I'd appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the Word. John chapter 19, verse 25 this morning. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to this passage of Scripture this morning, might we for a moment understand all that is being said. And so, Lord, for that to happen, we need you to come. We need you to move upon us in a powerful way, that we would come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to share, Lord, your words with your people. But Lord, I pray that you would move this morning upon each and every one of us in a very powerful way, that we would recognize this morning your deep care and concern for all of us, and that we truly would this morning experience grace from the cross. And so, Lord, I ask that you would come in a very special way this morning as we come to your word. And Jesus shares a word of affection with us. We ask in your precious name. And amen. You may be seated this morning. As we continue to think about grace from the cross, I couldn't help but think about these words of affection that Jesus shares with his mother. And so we're going to think about those for just a few moments this morning. And there's basically just three things that I want to share with you. But I just think it's interesting the things that Jesus shares with us from the cross. And so I think we almost have to pause for a moment and ask, what is happening in this moment, in the moments where Jesus shares from the cross. What's happening? Well, of course we know, number one, Jesus is being crucified. If you ask what's happening in this passage of Scripture and the other passages we've shared that Dave shared a couple weeks ago, I shared with you last week and sharing with you today, what's happening? Jesus is being crucified. And when we think about Jesus being crucified, we often kind of, I don't want to say that we skip them, but we kind of just overlook so many things, because the big picture is Jesus is crucified. He shed his blood for us, dies at the cross of Calvary for salvation, so that we can be redeemed, that we can be forgiven of sin, and that we can experience a right relationship with God. I mean, truly, yes, that is everything the cross is about. It's about redeeming the all of humanity. And when we think about the cross, that's one of the things that really stands out to us. And often when we reference the cross and resurrection, it's all about the plan of salvation. But there's so much, if I can say, so much more going on why Jesus is being crucified. There is grace being poured out to humanity. And so why Jesus is being crucified, despite all that's happened to Jesus, he's still pouring out grace. I want us to think about what's happened. He had supper with his disciples. He shares with them that one of them, even this night, is going to betray me. We know that he goes from the upper room in the Last Supper, as Judas goes off to betray him. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. I have to straighten that out. Garden of Gethsemane, and there we know, as Scripture shares with us, that he prays in agony, that his sweat, he's in so much agony and grief for the upcoming experience that he sweats blood in such agony. We understand in Scripture that the three disciples in whom is his inner circle, he asked them to come along a little farther in the garden, and he pleads with them to pray, and he finds them sleeping. We know Judas has betrayed Jesus. The guards come, take him off, middle of the night, where he stands trial. He's drugged from one place to another, to eventually before Pilate, where then he's scourged, which literally means he's beat to a very centimeter of his life. They wrap a garment around him and stick a crown of thorns on his head and lead him off to be crucified. Jesus is on the cross being crucified, being killed, mind you. As he drips his own blood, he's pouring grace to all those who were involved before he got to the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. Is that what you would have said? Sure it is, right? Not likely. But Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. As we shared with you in regard to the man beside him. The thief eventually comes to a place where he says, Lord, remember me. Jesus says to him, criminal, just a few moments before that mocking him, did nothing deserve grace, nothing. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Pouring grace while being crucified. We sing the song Amazing Grace, but church, I want you to understand that this is amazing grace. There's nothing else like it. Jesus, as he's being crucified, pouring out grace. Grace from the cross. And we could stop there and say, man, that was amazing. But that's not it. It's not over yet. Jesus hasn't said it is finished. And so something significant, not necessarily theological, but something significant is about to happen. And that brings me to the second thing that I want to share with you this morning. And it's Mary at the foot of the cross. And I know in your mind, if you have any imagination at all, you're already thinking about what it would be like for Mary to be at the foot of the cross. And I hope we do imagine that for a moment. Because Jesus' mother watched her son suffer in agony, even to death, and could do nothing. Mind you, nothing about it. As a mom, you would be furious. Come on, moms. You know you would. And you want to do everything in your power to protect your children. And I guarantee you, Mary was a mom. And so without question, Mary is brokenhearted, feeling a tremendous amount of pain and loss as she watches her son being crucified. It's in this moment we observe. I would really like to use the word experience. Mary does. But observe once again grace from the cross. Despite, if you would, Jesus' condition, he compassionately passed the responsibility of his mother's care to John. There is so much happening in this moment, I couldn't even begin to express everything that's happening. Recognize in this moment, Jesus is dying. And he's not even thinking about himself. He looks down and sees his mother and is reminded, if you would, of who she is. And so we see, Luke records for us, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Now to us, that might sound really odd. But on Jesus' mind, as he was dying on the cross, is his mother. Have you noticed he's not really said anything about himself? "Forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. See, if you're going to be with me in paradise today, Mom." Grace pouring from the cross. And so as per the custom of Jesus' day, Jesus, being the oldest son, is responsible for his mother's care and well-being. We would understand at this time that in some form or fashion, Joseph has passed from the scene. And so as Jesus is dying on the cross, he sees his mom, and with words of affection, he passes his care on to the disciple, John. In his dying moments, affection for his mother, care and concern for her. And Scripture says, and from that day, John took Mary into his home and tended to her needs and cared for her. It is here, in this moment, Jesus offers a word of affection to his mother to comfort her broken heart. His grace from the cross is enough. Not only to save her, but to sustain her. I don't know about you, but what a beautiful moment. These words that Jesus shares with his mom. The care and the compassion, the grace that he's bestowing. And I don't want to take anything away from that moment and how precious it is, but I want us to understand this morning that that same grace that is bestowed from Jesus to his mother is available to the all of humanity. I don't know if you ever heard that old song, "Why It Was on the Cross." I was on his mind. I want you to know that today, right here, right now, in this moment, the same grace that he's given to his mother, the same grace that he gave to the thief beside him, the same grace that he prayed for those who were doing what they were doing to him, is available to you and I right now. Grace from the cross. Which brings us this morning to the third thing that I want to share with you this morning. And it's this. Grace is enough. God's grace is enough. It was enough for Mary at the foot of the cross. It was enough for the thief beside him. It's enough for the people Jesus prayed for. And it is enough for you and I. Grace from the cross. Kyle Eidelman, and who I quoted last week, shares this. The grace Jesus offered Mary reveals the grace available to us in our broken-hearted seasons. I can't imagine anyone more distraught than Mary at the foot of the cross. Truth is, couldn't even begin to imagine the pain, the hurt, and the anguish that she was dealing with in that moment. But the grace that Jesus gives to her was enough for her. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're going through, his grace is enough. If we were all honest, many of us, if not all of us, have faced difficult circumstances, hurt, loss, pain, anguish. Hurt that cuts deep, pain that seems to never cease. I could easily stand here before you this morning and say, man, it's been a long week. And it has. And then you lose an hour. Man, what's wrong with this system? But anyway, sometimes life is tough. But His grace is enough. So much so that there's more where that came from. Jesus desires to speak peace and comfort to you. Grace from the cross. So we might have to step back for a moment and say, well, what does all that mean for me? To us, this grace from the cross, the Father forgive them, the thief beside Him, Mary at the foot of Jesus. We are the crowd that He prays, Father forgive them, for they know not what they do. We are the thief beside Him. We are the Marys at the foot of the cross, dealing with hurt and loss and heartbreak. What does it mean for us? In every one of those situations, even though He was being crucified on the cross, He gave grace. So you know what He'll do for you today? Do you know what He'll do for you today? I'm going to ask you, do you know what He'll do for you today? He will give you grace. Grace that is sufficient enough for whatever it is that you're struggling with, that you're dealing with, that hurt you, that's broke your heart, or whatever else thing that you could think of this morning or is happening in the life of somebody, God's got grace for that. And He wants to give it to you today. Oh, you might say, Pastor, you don't know. And you're right, I may not know what's happening. I may not know the level of hurt or disappointment or brokenness that you're facing. But He does. In Scripture, we find many moments of grace is enough. I'm not going to take time this morning to share all of them with you, but I do want to draw our attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." If you know anything about this scenario, Paul has what Scripture says is a thorn in the flesh. We don't necessarily know for sure. People have speculated in regard to the Apostle Paul and what his thorn in the flesh was. Some say it was some type of skin pigment issue. Some people say, some think that it was some sort of, at that time, incurable disease. And some, in their comedy aspects, refer to that as Paul's wife. However, if you read Scripture, you will understand that Paul necessarily, from what we understand in Scripture, was not married. So Paul's thorn in the flesh, just for clarification, is not his wife. Okay? But whatever it was, it bothered Paul tremendously. You would see that Paul, in a sense, suffered with this thorn in the flesh, and he prayed multiple times for this thorn in his flesh to be gone, to be healed, to disappear. And the Lord's response to Paul was, for whatever reason, and we might even ask the question, why didn't God do this or why didn't God do that? That's because the Lord knows something we don't. And so he says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Or other interpretations would say, my grace is always enough. Today, just as it was when Jesus was being crucified, his grace was sufficient for those in whom he prayed for. His grace was sufficient for the thief on the cross. His grace was sufficient for Mary. I want you to know this morning that his grace, no matter the circumstance in your life, is sufficient. It's always enough. But here's the question. Are we experiencing today grace from the cross? I made the statement earlier. Once again, we observe, and I said, I wish I could say experience. Mary was experiencing the grace, the words of affection from her son. She was experiencing that. Today, we can, and we're going to talk more as we get closer toward the celebration of Easter. We're going to continue to talk about grace from the cross. We've talked about it for a couple weeks. We're going to talk about it for a couple more weeks. We can talk about it for another month. Because it's real. And it's available. But are we experiencing grace from the cross? And if we're not, why not? Are we afraid to ask? Are we afraid to recognize? Are we afraid somebody might think something or say something? I don't know, but why aren't we experiencing the grace that we need in our life? Mary experienced grace from the cross for her broken heart and grief. We too can experience that same grace. For grief, for hurt, for loss, for heartbreak, whatever it is. As Jesus was being crucified, he was pouring out grace. We know that he was crucified and died on the cross of Calvary, placed in the tomb, rose on the third day, ascended to the Father. And you know what he's still doing today? Pouring out grace. Grace for whatever, whenever, and however. And it's always enough. I asked Lana to come to the piano this morning. And as she plays softly, I wonder, today, do you need some grace from the cross? Let's stand together this morning. There's really only two people who know what's happening in your life. You and the Lord. Yes, I know there's times we share with one another, and there's time people would say, "Are you doing okay?" And we always usually give them the short answer. Yeah, I'm doing okay. All at the same time, we're dying inside. If that's happened to you this morning, there's grace for that. Jesus wants to give grace to you for whatever that thing is that you're dealing with. If you're listening to the live stream this morning or sometime this week, and you're in one of those difficult moments, whatever it might be, I want you to know that Jesus has grace for that. Grace truly is amazing. We can talk about it forever. The most important thing is that we're experiencing His grace. So we're just going to take a few moments this morning. Maybe feel like you need to step out to an altar of prayer. Or maybe you need to pray right where you're standing. Or maybe where you're sitting in your living room or at your kitchen table. Wherever it is, you can just simply say to Jesus, "I need grace for that." I need grace for that.